Welcome to Weekly Winners. Today is Sunday, September 26th. We got week three action to preview. First, we'll briefly touch on that Thursday night game. Panthers blow at the Texans. Did we even bet on that game? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Nah, just...
We didn't even have a podcast on Wednesday, did we?
Yeah. You know, things just happen. It's hard to keep up sometimes, so everyone deserves a mulligan, right?
Right. I mean, that was just it was a bad game.
A combined 0-7 on our bets, and I think we only overlapped with one bet.
Right.
So,
but for those that saw the YouTube exclusive of Jock Market, mm-hmm. we both did really well.
We did both on that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I recouped more than I lost on my bets.
So did I, which makes it hard to like really be bummed about it. But on paper, I was over three. Cody was over four. But in the bank account, I shorted Christian McCaffrey. There's no way I could have known he would get hurt, but he was just going for a whole lot, and I saw value there. The bank accounts escape unscathed, but not so much with our prides.
Right.
Let's get right into it here. weird slanted games, especially with the lines involved. This is really where things will start to shape the NFL season. Because 2-0, you can blow 2-0. 0-2, you can recover. 3-0, that's you're cemented in your division pretty good. 0-3, that's a significant hole to climb out of if you're going to be a contending team for the playoffs.
Right, like when you look at teams that make the playoffs that started 0-2 versus 0-3, it's such a big gap.
You can't lose your first three. It's just not an option.
Right.
So let's start out Cardinals at the Jags. Cardinals are 8-point favorites. Over-under is 51.5. And this is one of the easier ones for me. Same. I have a feeling we're on the same bet here. I got Cardinals -8. The Jags are yet to cover 8 points, and the Cardinals are by far the best team they'll have played.
Yep. I also have them covering 8, and I also kind of like the prop of the Cardinals over 14.5 in the first half, -110. The Cardinals just score.
Yeah.
It's kind of what they do, and this is – I feel comfortable saying this Jags defense is the worst one they've played yet this season.
Yeah.
Or will have played. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals drop – you know, only 7 in the second half because they already got the backups right out there. But no, I do think the Cardinals will, for the third game in a row, get out to a hot start on offense. And
yeah, it feels like a blowout for sure.
Yeah.
But Falcons at Giants. Giants 3-point favorites at home. Over-under is 47.5. The line I like in this one is this Giants defense, which had some hype at the beginning of the season, hasn't shown it quite yet. And although the offense looked surprisingly competent against the football team on Thursday night, putting up, 29 points, because Danny Dimes, if he can improvise like he is capable of, they will. It's going to help their running game with him, you know, running for nearly 100 yards. And just that threat, if you have to not even put a spy on him, but just have that in the back of the mind of your secondary, it affects the passing game. And the Falcons, they showed against the Bucs. They can get blown out and still put points up. So I like the over 47.5 here.
I do agree with that. I've got the over as well as the Falcons covering. I don't think there will maybe be one game the rest of the season where we see the Falcons we saw week one. They were just bad.
Yeah.
And had not Matt Ryan not thrown, I think, 2 pick-sixes in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That Bucs game, they actually looked I think they look good. Like, and I'm not a full believer in that Giants defense, nor am I a full believer in that Giants offense. I know they looked good on Thursday night, but also one of those divisional games, you know, like those divisional games always go kind of weird. So I like the Falcons at +3.
I'm going to go to Ravens at Lions. Ravens are 8-point favorites. Runners 50.5 here. Ravens obviously just surviving the Chiefs on Sunday night last week. Lions losing to the Packers pretty convincing fashion on Monday. And both said, I think the Lions are, they're 0-2, but they've shown flashes in both of those games. In the first half against the Packers, the second half against the 49ers, they have to really put it together. But the fact is that defense just is going to provide no resistance to Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So I have to take Ravens -8 here. Obviously, 8 is a little considerably more significant than 7. I don't think anyone really blinks if it's like, Ravens floundered a little bit, beat the Lions by a touchdown. But there's also a chance to just jump on them right away. And there's, I think, probably more of a chance that the Lions put 0 good halves together before they put 2 good halves together.
Right. So I didn't bet a line in this one. Just like seeing the Lions in the first half of that Packers game and the second half of that Niners game, they seem like a team to me that could definitely be one of those like dark horses to flirt with covering every week. Like, I don't know. They just, I think that offense is good enough to put up, you know, 17, 21 points on the Ravens defense. So I'm hitting the over 50.5 here. Cause I think the Ravens will put up 35, 40. Like I definitely see that happening. But I also don't think the Lions are going to get shut out either.
Right. And Bill, the Ravens defense isn't good enough to do that.
Right. No.
So then we get the Justin Fields debut as a starter in Cleveland against the Browns. We're going being a 7.5-point underdog, a relatively low over under 44.5. I thought about that line, but it's so hard for rookie quarterback. Like,
right.
You can see him putting up 21, see him putting up 3 or 10. Like,
yeah,
it's tough. But I kind of believe in it. The Bears don't look that bad. They're certainly, you know, they're a fine football team. They're not really going to get blown out. They kind of got shown up by the Rams, but the Rams just look so good this year so far. And the Browns, not really a convincing win against the Texans, only beating it by 10, hung in there with the Chiefs. So I got Bears +7.5. They keep it, you know, within, they lose by a touchdown, but they keep it kind of within 10.
Yeah, I have that same line. The Browns haven't convinced me yet. Could have been a week one fluke in Kansas City where they were leading for pretty much 3/4 of that game.
Right.
And I know I talked about it on a previous episode, but Fields just, he seems to me like one of those guys that's just going to come in and be a spark.
Yeah.
I almost debated about Bears money line here. Just because I do think it's, you get some slight value at +270, but yeah, I think Fields is going to bring a little spark to that team.
Mm-hmm. That's what we got to hope. Then we go to Pittsburgh for Bengals at Steelers. And not only do I really not bet the lines for or against my favorite team, but the Steelers have two questionable players in TJ Watt and Deontay Johnson, who are respectively pretty big keys to their offense and their defense. I just don't see taking a line here without knowing that information of who plays. That just feels so significant to what the Steelers are going to look like that even an over-under, I don't, I'm 43.5 for the over-under. Steelers are 3-point favorites at home. which I like to think is too low, but that they could just convincingly beat the Bengals. And I lean under here, as I have the first 2 week with the Steelers, just because of this Bengals offensive line is so horrendous. But if TJ Watt's out, that's obviously significant. Otherwise, I mean, I will bet the under in this game if TJ Watt is playing. But I can't take, it's too low, 43.5. It's too low for me to take if he's not in.
Right. So I actually have the Steelers covering here. I think they still cover even if TJ Watt and Deontay Johnson are out. Bengals just looked real bad last week. I think the Steelers lost to a good Raiders team. I think that's what it was. I think the Steelers win this in like a, you know, like 17-3 ball game or something. I do think it'll be low scoring again. That's kind of the theme with the Steelers, but that defense is just so good.
Yeah, gotta hope so. I'll go to one of the more interesting matchups, I think. Colts at Titans. Colts keep it within 3 with the Rams, but are 5.5-point underdogs to the Titans, who escaped the Seahawks on some with some Derrick Henry heroics. I don't really. This line gave me some pause. Like, why is it 5.5? Like, that sounds right to what I think about these teams, but clearly Vegas has been a lot higher on the Colts than I have been, and also they've looked better than I thought they would look against the Rams. Do you know what the word is on Carson Wentz? Is he
fine? I haven't heard yet.
So I guess maybe that's driving it up, but I think this is maybe the week that we find out the Colts, like I've kind of been saying, they're just not good. I'm taking the Titans -5.5, but I'm also taking the over 48. I'm taking double lines in this game. The Colts still put up points against the Rams defense, which is very stellar, and the Titans do not have that for a defense. And the Titans are going to put up points, whether it's through the air or on the ground. No touchdowns for Tannehill, but he still threw like 375 yards. They're still moving the ball through the air against the Seahawks. Ton of points getting scored in this game, I could see.
Yeah, so I'm trying to bet every game.
Mm-hmm.
I know the first 2 weeks I didn't. So in games where I don't like any of the lines, I'm trying to take like alternate lines, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. So I've got the Colts over 0.5 in the first quarter, which is -175 right now.
Okay.
Or 145, sorry. I think in games where I don't like any lines, if I keep getting these 0.5 first quarter bets, I think over the long run, you'll come out ahead on that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's just kind of my thinking. Because that Colts offense, like you said, put up points against the Rams.
Right, which you wouldn't really expect them to do.
Right.
Especially on how that Rams defense looked, especially in some tough matchups. We go to Chargers at Chiefs. Chiefs coming off that close loss to the Ravens. And I've been hearing like a lot of, this would be a great spot for the Chargers, but the Raven, you don't want the Chiefs coming off the loss. Like, they're going to be focused. They're going to be looking to get back on track. Got a little newsflash for you. Professional football teams try their best to win every week.
Right.
It doesn't. I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but it matters much less than a lot of people think. The result of the week before, like there's letdown spots more in college where a team is blowing out a team a couple weeks in a row, and then they have a team that's maybe gonna come in and give them a scare. These are professionals. They know what they're up against. They're familiar with these players, with these teams. Don't read too much into it. That being said, I do like this spot for the Chargers a lot. I think this line, which is 7 points, is too much of an overreaction due to what the Chargers did against the Cowboys. I think they shore up the penalties there, make a couple adjustments. Give me the Chargers money line plus 260 to beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead and kind of take not a command of that division because the Raiders and Broncos, but get a step up on the Chiefs in that division.
Yeah. This is another game I just couldn't decide on Chargers or Chiefs, but one thing I could decide on was the over 54.5. I don't think we'll see the Chargers. Like the Chargers offense that, has struggled early in the season here, that won't last all season, And this Chiefs defense is not good. Justin Herbert is good. Obviously Patrick Mahomes is good. I think there will be points scored here.
Yeah.
So I like over 54.5. That's a pretty high over-under. I believe it's the highest of the week. No, third highest. Yeah. But
there's some 330 games that are.
Yeah. But no, I like the over here. I think both teams are very capable of scoring big points.
The one thing that would give me pause is what the lack of points in that Chargers Cowboys game where the Cowboys showed they could put up points.
Right.
Against the Bucs and then not so much against those Chargers defense. The thing about the Chargers defense is you could get maybe a little concerned with like a Titans matchup. With like a team that's gonna like try to run the ball down their throats because they're a little undersized.
Mm-hmm.
They're good, they're fast, it's very good defense. They're a little small, but against the Chiefs, that's what you need. You need speed to match with these guys. You still need someone to go on Kelsey, but something tells me there's double him, and I think they have the speed to kind of keep up with this Chiefs offense, but the Chiefs defense does not look good. The Chargers might put up 28, 35 points themselves in this game. So we're going Saints at Patriots. And I looked at it, I'm like, oh, I like the Saints here. Throw out last week, 7 coaches out with the COVID protocol. I'm not even going to think about what happened in that game for either team. I like the Saints plus 3 here. Then I'm kind of looking. I'm like, ton of money on the Saints. People are not betting the Patriots in this game. Patriots haven't really looked that good. They handled the Jets, but they lost to the Dolphins. They got blown out by the Bills. So that's not looking as impressive of a feat as we thought it might have been. Like, we thought it might be a more competitive division, but that's at what was thought to be, competitive division loss with your first week with a rookie quarterback is starting to look like a bad loss against those Dolphins. I'm still being 3-point favorites at home. Kind of a little bit of a rat line to me. I didn't really like it. So against my better judgment, I'm taking the Patriots to cover that 3. I like Jameis. I like these Saints. But this line is telling me that people are too high on the Saints. I guess I'm one of those people. So Vegas is kind of telling me with this line is that look for the Patriots to kind of bounce back here.
So I'm taking the opposite line. I'm going with your gut. I'm going Saints plus 3 here at minus 120. We haven't seen how Mac Jones reacts when he has to put up points. Mm-hmm. He just kind of coasted through that Jets game through what, like 2 passes in the second half.
Crazy, yeah.
I mean, the Dolphins game, it wasn't like the Dolphins were scoring every drive. And, you got the coaches back for the Saints. I don't think we'll see him put up, 38 like they did against the Pack in week 1, but they still might put up 28 points. And I'm just not sure how good he'll be when he has to throw the ball the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
because, you know, they might get down by two scores or something. It's like, okay, we can lean on Damian Harris. We can, you know, lean on James White. So.
Right. See, we'll see if I, if my, how calibrated I am with what Vegas is telling us with these lines. See if I sniff that one out correctly or if I'm overthinking it. Then we go to the Washington football team traveling to Buffalo. 7-point underdogs to the Bills, who blew out the Dolphins last week. That Bills defense does look good. In both weeks, they looked very good. But especially Thursday night, Washington's offense is surprising. There may be more of a
Taylor Heineke.
Maybe more of a balanced team than was anticipated. Because the defense hasn't looked that good. But the offense has put up 30 points against the Giants. And the Bills obviously they put up a ton of points against what was supposed to be at least a fine, above league average Dolphins defense. Put up 35 points against them. So I think the over here, 45.5. I think the seven's just, it feels right. And I think the Heineke only needs to score 14, 17 points to contribute to this over for that to go over.
Yeah. So completely agree with your statement about that football team offense.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like any of the lines, so I'm taking my over half a point in the first quarter for -115 for the football team. Kick field goal, that's all you got to do. I mean,
right.
I think Heineke's proved, I mean, even if you go back to last playoffs, he can move the team down the field.
Right. Especially,
he might not score a touchdown. You know, if they're getting in the red zone, it's not like, oh, you know, Heineke, this is, he's scoring a touchdown 80% of the time here. He's not one of those guys, but he'll get you there. He'll get you to the red zone.
Right. And the Bills' pass rush has been kind of a focal point. It's been much improved from last year. But Heineke was under a ton of pressure against the Giants, and he still produced at a fine level for them to win that game.
Right.
So as long as the Bills can't game plan out Terry McLaurin, because that's his far away his number one favorite target. He throws it pretty much only to McLaurin, but can't imagine being able to game plan out that kind of speed.
Right.
And then we go to Dolphins at Raiders. Raiders have won two games that they were underdogs in, pretty significant underdogs in. And now they get to host the Dolphins, who scored 0 points last week. Two is hurt. Jacoby Brissett is in. The 3.5-point favorites. What do you think this line is if it's a week one game?
If it's week one and Tua is in?
Right, like we haven't seen anything.
I'd say probably what don't probably flip the other way, I'd assume.
Mm-hmm. At least a pick them, I'd say. The Raiders are at home, like, you know, but
I guess. Yeah, I'd assume like Dolphins -3.
Right. The Raiders are good. The Dolphins aren't looking very good. That being said, Jacoby Brissett, the Dolphins are not sold on Tua, and I'm scared that this is going to kind of be more of a negative for Tua. I think Jacoby Brissett has the best outing of a Dolphins quarterback this season. I think he kind of outshines Tua in this week or two, in these next couple weeks for the matchups they have. And it does make the Raiders, they've looked good, but you know, it's taken some help with injuries for beating the Ravens and the Steelers. So I'm going Dolphins +165 to go get a win in Vegas. I just think it's an overreaction in both ways. I think it was an embarrassing loss against the Bills, and it was an impressive win by the Raiders. But I just think both of those teams did not play like themselves in week two. just opposite. The Dolphins play worse, the Raiders play better. I think that's moving these lines further from where they should be. So over plus 150 value for the Dolphins to get a win here, I think is that's the line I like here.
So this game brings upon my detrimental luck of the week.
Okay.
I'm 0-2 so far this season, and being a big Raiders backer, it scares me to say this, but my lock of the week is the Raiders covering -3.5. I really don't think this was a fluke these past 2 weeks. Defense has had two strong showings now, not so much in the first half of week one, but in the second half, that Raiders defense kind of stepped up and did a week two against the Steelers. The fact that Jacoby Brissett is mobile, or on the more mobile side, he's not a run first guy like Lamar,
right.
But doesn't really scare me because, again, in that second half, the Raiders defense did step up against Lamar. Mm-hmm. I think the Raiders offense can put up, 30 points on this Dolphins defense, and I don't think the Dolphins can do that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this feels like a game the Raiders win by 7, win by 10, kind of in that range. I'm locking the Raiders at -3.5.
I'm extremely uncomfortable betting this Dolphins money line, but that's maybe exactly why I like this pick. You want to talk detrimental in terms of locks of the week. Let's get crazy. Jets at Broncos. Broncos are 10.5-point favorites. Zach Wilson threw on 4 interceptions last week. My lock of the week, Zach Wilson over 18.5 completions. He's thrown that many completions in both of his games so far. And he had a quote, which I don't think you like if you're a Jets fan. Zach Wilson is extremely anxious to bounce back from his 4 interception performance against Broncos, which is a really good defense. But what do you do when you have been, when you've thrown 4 interceptions and been clowned by the entire internet? You chuck the ball down so you don't throw 4 interceptions again. Look for, the Broncos being double digit favorites here is kind of crazy. Like I said, I don't think the Broncos are good enough to be double digit favorites against anybody, but if anybody, it'd be the Jets.
Right.
And if that's to be believed, Jets are going to be down. They're going to have to throw the ball. 19 completions just isn't that many. He's going to have the opportunity to do it. I think he throws a look. At least the Jets should give him the Mac Jones game plan. Give him a lot of short completions. Get his confidence up a little bit. Let him see his receivers catching the ball. 18.5 completions. I think this is the lock of the week. I'm very confident in Zach Wilson here against all judgment.
It pained me to circle it, but I did take the Broncos to cover.
Mm-hmm.
I have just completely crap talked the Broncos.
Yeah.
Almost every week on this podcast. Terrible organization. I'm not a Zach Wilson believer. I don't think we'll see a repeat 4 interception performance, but I think the Broncos can probably put up 27 points, 28 points in this game. And I just don't know if the Jets can put up, 17 or
it could just be a blowout. That's Spready Bridgewater. He covers spreads. That's what he does. That's every gambler's favorite. But going from my lock of the week completions bet to another completions bet in the Seahawks-Vikings game. Seahawks are 1.5-point favorites on the road in Minnesota. 55 for the total. massive number here, but the both teams have put up a good amount of points in the first 2 weeks. My bet is Kirk Cousins over 24 and a half completions. 24 would be the lowest amount of completions that the Seahawks have allowed this year. And the Vikings, they throw the ball. They have a lot of weapons. I just see this being, I would like the over here, but 55 is so high.
Right.
I just think the Vikings throw the ball a ton here, and you know, Kirk Cousins throw the ball.
Yeah.
40, 45 times and complete 25 of them. I don't feel like that's asking a whole lot. So that's they gave up 375 throwing yards to Tannehill. And I like Tannehill, but Kirk Cousins certainly has the capability to replicate a performance like that.
Especially if they get, you know, down two.
Right.
You know. I don't think they'll get down though. I do like the Vikings money line here, plus 110. Kind of had two bad beats, week one and week two, missing that field goal right at the end of week two to lose to my Cardinals. Week one, losing an OT to the Bengals. Couple bad beats. I just think, I don't think they can have three bad beats in a row. I think they're going to be playing with that mentality that they can't start 0-3 because then pretty much their playoff hopes are. And I do think this is a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a wild card team. I don't think they do anything when they make the playoffs, but I do think this is a team that definitely can make the playoffs. So I think they know that week three here is it's almost a must win.
Right.
For them. So yeah, especially playing the NFC West this year. I mean, they gotta assume they're probably only winning one of those three games.
It's a tough pull for sure.
Yeah, I think the Vikings know they gotta win it. I think they do.
Yeah. Then we go to what I'm surprised this should be the primetime late night game.
Right.
Bucks at Rams.
I wish they would flex games early in the season.
Yeah,
I mean Packers Niners is a good game too, but like Bucks Rams has gotta be in that 7 o'clock slot.
It's gotta be. I can't imagine. Oh, Seahawks Vikings will be an exciting game. But with Jets Broncos, like I can't imagine who's watching anything but Bucks Rams in that 3 o'clock slot. That 3:30 slot. This will be the last time that you will have the opportunity to get plus points for the Rams at home. So take it while you can. Rams plus 1.5. The Buccaneers have shown twice that they can be thrown against, and the Rams have Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and Robert Woods. Stafford's going to throw for a ton of yards. And the Rams still have a good defense, despite what they kind of displayed against the Colts. It's going to be high scoring, but I think just look for the Rams to convert touchdowns when the Bucs maybe have to sell for field goals.
So I don't know if it's going to be high enough scoring to hit the over.
55.5. Yeah.
I like the under here, which is kind of what I'm betting on this game. This game feels like a pick 'em. Don't feel like touching the lines. I mean, 55.5, this, you know, what if this is, goes out and it's a 28-27 ball game that still hits the under? Right. Like, this just seems a little too high. I probably wouldn't touch it if it moved to, like, you know, 52.5 or 53.5. I probably wouldn't touch it. But
what an all-time win that would be if you had Rams plus 1.5 and under 55.5. It was Bucks 28, Rams 27.
Right.
Right down the middle, just thread that needle.
but I think both defenses are good enough that I don't think both teams will score 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they do. Maybe I'm just way off here. But I just feels like a pick 'em, which it is a pick 'em, but can't. I don't like betting against Tom Brady.
Yeah,
that's the only. that's bitten me so many times betting against Tom Brady that I don't want to take the Rams here, even though I do like them at plus 1.5.
Yeah, nah, it's just I just see that offense. I think it comes down to the defenses. Both offenses are clearly firing off cylinders, but I just kind of believe in that Rams defense a little bit more than the Bucs right now. Moving to Sunday night, the aforementioned Packers at 49ers. 49ers 3-point favorites. And I like the under 50.5 here. Except for that Lions last 5 minutes of the game, the 49ers defense is good. The Packers aren't going to be able to score like they did against the Lions. They're actually shut down by the Saints. The 49ers defense is better than the Saints defense. And the 49ers were not able to score very much on the Eagles defense either. I believe they put 19 up. So this line being over 50 is crazy to me. Give me the under in this game, which in principle, I don't like betting the under on the Sunday night game. Just boring, but I think it's the right bet.
So I want everyone who's listening to fade my pick for this game because I already know it's going to lose, but I am taking Packers money line. Even though the Niners have the Packers number, they've had it for years. But something in my gut just tells me the Niners aren't for real. And also that the Packers only putting up 3 points on the Saints defense was a fluke. Like, I just don't believe in this Niners team. And I don't know why, but I don't. Taking Packers money line, it'll probably lose. Everyone faded.
Right. Your big concern is that Packers run defense.
Right. Yeah.
The 49ers. No matter
the 49ers could have six running backs out and sign some scrub off of free agency, and he's still going to run for 150 yards. And
it's going to be interesting. So we go to Monday, divisional NFC East, Eagles going to Texas, Cowboys being our 3.5-point favorites at home. Trendy pick like the Eagles here. I don't see it. They showed their true colors against the 49ers. Look for the Cowboys just blow off the Eagles here. Cowboys minus 3.5 Monday night.
And we are on the same page here. I also have the Cowboys minus 3.5. Yeah, that's even odds. And then just lots of money going on the Eagles, minus 120 right. For them to cover.
Again, it's a divisional game. Like maybe it's more competitive than it should be, but.
Right. I don't think it'll be a complete blowout, but like you said, the Eagles were bad week two.
I like the Washington football team, but how they look so far, beating the Chargers, the Cowboys are and should be the favorite to win this division. And if you're going to win this division, you have to beat the Eagles at home.
Yep.
That's simple as that, and they have to do it pretty decisively, in my opinion. So week one, I gave you a little teaser parlay, didn't win for you. I said, I don't tease. That's not what you're like doing. Just teasing yourself. Last week, I gave you the big favorites all parlayed together as my lock of the week, and that won. This week, despite my better judgment, we're back teasing a little bit. 7-point teaser. This is the points parlay. We're going all overs. Miami at Las Vegas. You tease it 7 points over 37. That's so low. Washington football team at the Bills. It's over 48.5. The Bills almost covered that by themselves last week. Ravens at Lions over 43.5. I mean, this. And it's Mike over by 20 points. The Ravens are just going to put points up, and I can't see him stopping the Lions from scoring 14 or 21 points. I'm going to go Falcons at Giants over 40.5. Again, the Falcons are going to put up points, and their defense isn't going to stop anybody. That's a 4-team teaser, 7-point teaser, parlay, plus 200. Double your money up. Just go into Sunday, root for points. I love this bet.
Yeah, I mean, I took the over in a couple of those games. So.
Oh, sorry, just the you get it a little lower. It's just,
right.
It's hard to imagine it doesn't. I mean, I imagine it'll be halftime of Washington at Buffalo. It'll be 3-0 or something, and I won't be feeling too good. But for now, it looks. I love it. We'll double your money up. This game's gonna. This parlay alone is gonna. This is my Thursday makeup.
Yeah, so I'm still in recovery from my, if everything goes right, parlay. I don't have one for this week. Just kind of wanted to focus on getting these lines down, just hovering around 500, except for the first game of the NFL season. I don't like it. Just trying to hunker down and get dialed in.
Right.
Because, you know, said last week, well, you know, now we know. Now, you know, week one's come and gone. Now
right.
We know. Well, week two is come and gone, and I'm still 500. So right.
After week three, there's absolutely no excuse. It's hard right. to say, well, I think when this happened week one, this happened week two, and this happened week three, well, I think this was a fluke, and that was a fluke. And then,
right.
There's no, you can't fluke your way through 3 weeks unless your name's the Carolina Panthers. So, yeah. We're right in the heart of it. Enjoy your Sunday. I know we will. Also, if you're looking for a little bit more content from me and from Cody, weeklymedia.org. We got a little blog going. That's where you can find my full 32-team power rankings. I recapped the Thursday night game. Cody will have stuff on there from time to time. Go on there. Check out my power rankings. Yell at me for having the Cardinals at number 4. And yeah, we'll have, by the time you're hearing this, if you liked when I did that on our a couple episodes about a month ago, I will have a week in wrestling blog up with WWE, AEW, just kind of a spot to put up a little more content on. So if that's what you're looking for, go check that out. Other than that, thank you for listening and have a great week. We'll see you guys for our week 3 recap on Wednesday.